But welcome into a special bonus episode of the Vertical Podcast. Glad you could join me. And my guest today is Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the National Basketball Players Association. There's a lot going on in the sports world with sports and politics intersecting, and even more going on in basketball. So I thought I'd sit down with Michelle and discuss all these issues. We get into the idea of NBA player protests going into the season. We talked about the college basketball scandal, how that could bleed into the NBA. And of course, the recent ESPN report that said 9 teams after revenue sharing lost money. So I dive into all that with Michelle Roberts. Quick housekeeping note, if you like this podcast, very easy way you can support it. Head over to Apple Podcasts, post a comment, leave a rating. It's simple, it's easy, it's free. It's the best way to make sure we keep doing this podcast week after week. That's it. And now on to my conversation with Michelle Roberts. My guest this week is Michelle Roberts. She's just over 3 years into her tenure as executive director of the National Basketball Players Association, and we're recording this in her wonderful office here in New York City. Michelle, thank you for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. No problem.
So 3 years, enjoying the job?
I am, and it's hard to believe that it's already been 3 years. Having said that, it also feels like it's been 50 years. But yeah, I'm still getting up in the morning, very happy to be working here.
So there was a lot I wanted to get into when I was scheduling this last week, but obviously the events of the weekend and, sure, and media day changed everything. Mm-hmm. I just want to get your first reaction to, on a personal level, to what you heard from the president and what you saw from the NFL players over this past weekend. Mm-hmm.
You know, I still maintain that no one really cares what Michelle Roberts thinks about anything, right? I mean, I'm not a player, and so I frankly have been mum about any number of things that have happened and come out of the White House. When I heard what the president said, I can't say shocked because that's now getting old, but I was unhappy. I immediately thought to myself, self or the basketball players next, and sure enough, within 24 hours, you know, his ire was aimed at our players, and so I was distressed. I did not expect or anticipate that our players would have any reaction publicly. They're not required to, but once they began to respond to what they'd heard with glee, I supported them and maintained that they were absolutely correct in their responses to what the president said. It was outrageous, and the response was, I think, appropriate.
Did you sense that something, maybe not exactly this, could be coming with the Warriors? For a long time have been skeptical about going to the White House, mm-hmm, and there's a lot of outspoken and extremely articulate players, sure, on that team. Did you get a feeling that if it wasn't this, it might have been something that blew up, you know, politically?
Only because it's not easy to escape this president's ire, and so, you know, our players have been vocal during the electoral process and even after the election, and he had not, at least I'm not aware of any response from the president, from the White House. I knew it was frankly a matter of time. I'm saddened that it came the way it did, but I knew it was a matter of time. My only regret, and I think I share the Warriors' regret, is that the team did not have that opportunity to have that discussion that they planned to have last Saturday, that the president's remarks preempted that. It would have been, I think, good for the team and perhaps even good for the rest of us to have the benefit of their discussions shared with us. So, yeah, it was bound to happen, and it happened. And the sad news is that it'll probably happen again.
If the NFL is the biggest sport in the country,
that's
NBA...
That's nonsense. Go
well,
on.
Financially, I mean, I guess if it, okay, if it drives the most... What I was going on to compliment NBA players being the most visible.
Right.
And
I agree.
And certainly the most popular.
I absolutely agree.
If you make a list of the 20 most known athletes in the world, probably 15 of them, mm-hmm, are going to be NBA players. What was your reaction to how the players handled this on Media Day and over the weekend?
You know, I've been... And let me underscore something. It's not the case that when these events occur, we have a big meeting and map out a strategy. That is the furthest from the truth that it could be. Indeed, the players, the NBA players, make these decisions on their own. They don't ask me, is this okay? and so all of this is organic. they have, since I've been in this position, always responded to these issues, I think, in ways that are both impactful but respectful. And so I didn't have any, I've not taken issue with any of the events that the players have originated in, the ESPN piece, the I Can't Breathe shirts. Nothing that they've done has made me anything other than proud. And so I expected that what they would have to say, if they had anything to say, would be done tastefully, and I believe it absolutely was.
How do you think, the preseason is less than a week away, how do you think that players are going to respond during games? Because, you know, LeBron said he's not going to take a knee, but others, I was in Boston when Jaylen Brown said we're going to talk about doing something. Right. DeMar DeRozan said they will try to do something. Mm-hmm. Do you get any sense about how certain players, certain teams are going to respond when the preseason games or regular season games start?
No, because they haven't told me. but they have told me, and I have obviously engaged in conversations with the players, is that whatever they choose to do, they want to do as a team. They want to have those discussions, the same kind of discussion that Golden State would have had last Saturday about what the team, what they as a team would like to do. And they'll let me know. I don't know. I don't think we didn't replicate the taking the knee activity during the last season. I think NBA players are pretty unique and aren't really the kind of guys that tend to parrot what other players do. So whatever the players do, they will do after they've had a chance to hear each other out. I would imagine that the front office will have some participation in those discussions. But what's important is that both the PA, the union, and the league have let the players know that we will support their expressions of in response to these issues and other issues. And I think we'll get through this season without much controversy, not the kind of controversy that's plaguing the NFL right now. But I expect the players will do something.
The NFL doesn't have a rule against kneeling, sitting for the anthem. The NBA does.
Right.
And we saw 20 years ago with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf being suspended for a game and finally coming to some kind of agreement with David Stern back then. Mm-hmm. It's a different league. It's a different commissioner. But have you had conversations with Adam Silver about how he's going to react to this if players choose to do something during the national anthem?
It is a policy that I have not to discuss or reveal discussions with Adam, but I will say that I haven't, because I haven't believed I needed to. I was not the executive director when the other piece happened, but I'm aware of the rule. The players are aware of the rule, and we'll see. This is a different commissioner. This is a different time. I disagree with the view that taking a knee is disrespectful. But there is a rule, and so we'll see. I don't know that we'll see, because I don't know that we will have a player do that. We've not yet had a player do it. But if, in fact, it happens, and if, in fact, the league responds by deciding to impose some penalty, then we will, as we've done for every player that wants to challenge the discipline, will support that player and defend that player.
You and Adam recently co-signed a letter that effectively, to paraphrase it, encourage players to be outspoken on social issues, to use their platform on social issues. Do you get the sense that Adam Silver would be in favor, the NBA would be in favor of players making a statement like this because of their visibility and how people look up to them?
Yeah, and the other thing I don't do is speak for Adam, but I will say, I mean, I
slippery take, slope there sometimes.
It is, yeah. It is, and I would expect that he'd say the same about speaking for me. I think what we said is what he meant and what I meant, and so we both have publicly made clear that we endorse and support the players' rights of expression, the free expression. And we encourage the players, as they've done, to both use their platforms to express their views on various issues, but also their positions to affect change in their communities. I mean, our players, and I'm not taking a dig at any other players, but our players are quite active in engaging in their respective communities to not simply walk the walk, but not talk the talk, but they actually walk the walk. So all of that activity is encouraged by the PA. The good news is it's encouraged by the league, vis-a-vis Adam's words. And so, it's been said that our game is much more progressive than other games. I have believed that that's true. I'll give a shout out though to the NFL owners, because they came at it this past weekend in ways that I was shocked. And so, you know, I still maintain that we are more progressive and forward thinking than other games. But the good news is we may be bringing other games and other leagues along.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, there's a Board of Governors meeting on Thursday, mm-hmm. and a couple of significant items on that. One is lottery reform, which mm-hmm. everybody in the small market, big markets are talking about. But the other issue that's going to come up is the issue of revenue sharing and teams losing money. There was an you smile to people not listening. You're smiling while you're right. or can't see you're smiling there. Just to recap what the ESPN report said: 14 teams lost money last season. 9 lost money even after revenue sharing. Now, at this point, it's a league issue because there is a collective bargaining agreement. But does
you got that right?
Does your antenna go up at all when you see a report like that? Because for me, it reminds me of 7-8 years ago when this all started to get the rock rolling with NBA owners losing money.
The only thing I will say, I will repeat what you said. Our deal, our CBA runs for another 7 years. So if there's a problem, it's the owner's problem. That's number one. Number two, you know, all I know is that the league, God bless them, successfully negotiated a $25 billion TV deal. All I know is that that gate receipts have been going up across the league. All I know is that the sale of season tickets have been going up across the league. Our game has never been more popular. BRI is continuing to grow year over year. So, you know, I was probably as shocked as the rest of us were to hear that the 9 teams are reported to be losing money. Do I believe it? Frankly, I don't. Do I have to believe it? Frankly, I don't. And so whatever the league decides together with the owners to do in terms of their revenue sharing, it's clearly their business. It's their revenue. It's their share of the BRI. But the good news is whatever they have to do is not going to impact the players for the next 7 years because our deal is solid.
The other significant issue is lottery reform. And again, this is more of a league issue because small market teams are battling right now with big market teams. Do you have any horse kind of in that race with you know, how these teams are kind of built and how they're put together?
I'd say two things. One, I'm not going to accuse any team of tanking, but I do know this: our guys are incredibly competitive, and every single one of them wants to win, and every single one of them wants to compete for a championship. And to the extent it's true that teams are deliberately not providing the kind of support or manpower to teams in an effort to better their lottery position, that's despicable. And I agree with the league to the extent they're trying to stop that from happening if it's happening. Again, I've not made one single accusation. The second piece is, I'm more interested in free agency and the preservation of free agency than I am with lottery reform. I get the league's concerns about competitive balance. You know, that's their mantra. That's fine. And to the extent they are convinced, and I'm somewhat neutral on this. I think the players are as well. That there's more help that needs to be done to help small market teams. If lottery reform is one way to get there, that's fine. It's only when they start talking about changing free agency rules that the players need to and do become vocal.
3 years ago, the impetus for lottery reform was Philadelphia and mm-hmm. what they were doing. Now, if you talk to people in the league, what Phoenix did towards the end of last year is, I don't know if I call it a driving force, but it's there in this discussion. Did you take any issue with Phoenix sitting healthy players and they weren't even hiding it to a certain degree, saying right. management decision with some of these guys? Did you take any issue with your guys being kind of benched and sidelined for reasons beyond their game?
What I did was wait for the players to formally complain, and I didn't receive any. I think that we have to be concerned about a couple of things. My first concern is the players. If players think that that behavior is in any way negatively impacting their careers, then that gets our attention. And I don't know that the players uniformly decided to buy into whatever was going on in Phoenix or not. All I know is I didn't receive any complaints. And so I don't look for trouble if there's no trouble that exists. The second thing is we have to be mindful of fans. And everybody that buys a ticket has the right to see a competitive performance. And if teams are deliberately benching the stars on their rosters, that does impact their fan base. And so I would frankly join the league in asking teams to be mindful that while they may have legitimate reasons for wanting to reposition themselves for the lottery, you can't do that at the expense of the game, and you certainly can't do it at the expense of a player's career.
One of the more radical ideas I've heard from small market owners is to adopt an NFL free agency policy, which is the franchise tag for players. This is obviously a free agency issue.
Right.
If that was ever floated to you, what would your position be?
I should initially say it's not been floated.
Mm.
I've only had nominal conversations with players about it, just in conversation, asking if that's something they'd be interested in. When we began the CBA negotiations, part of what we did was find out from the players that there were issues that were on their minds that they wanted us to bring to the table, and that was one of the things I discussed. Anticipating that might be something that the league brought to the table, I wanted to flesh out some opinions from some of our marquee guys, and they were not interested.
Mm-hmm. Just stir flat, just we don't want it.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's the survey, the quote-unquote, I'm using quotation marks, survey I took was, nah. Mm-hmm. Not interested.
The summer of 2017 free agency wise was significantly different from 16. 16 was very free spending summer. 17 was more conservative. Did it surprise you at all that contract length and salaries were scaled back so significantly in the summer of 2017?
Well, I think you also have to take a look at the free agency classes. It's not fair to suggest there's an apples to apples comparison. You know, there were some teams that were making decisions based on the availability of players. Money was being spent. I mean, a lot of guys were making a lot of money. You know, it didn't compare to 2016, but a lot of money was spent. And I was still sort of looking at it, but I frankly think that the real answer lies in just who was out and who's out next year. I mean, I think teams do think not 1 year at a time, but several years at a time. And so it's difficult to make generalizations about why the money overall was less than the money last year.
Another big story that broke this week was in college basketball with the scandal involving financial advisors and others. Again, this is more of a college basketball issue, but a lot of these financial advisors are involved with NBA players.
Yep.
What was your reaction to seeing the FBI investigation and hearing what the U.S. attorney said at the press conference?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing I did was direct my general counsel to direct his staff to find out exactly who the defendants were that were named in those complaints, identify what relationships those defendants had with any current NBA players, and frankly, any prior NBA players, at least players during the time frame referenced in the complaint. And even if and what relationships those people had with unnamed agents or other financial advisors that we know in dealing with our players. So we had a very busy afternoon in our legal department. In fact, I'm meeting with my department today to find out what preliminary report they have. But we are going to be rigorous in making sure that anybody who is engaged in this misconduct is out. In at least in terms of being certified by this PA to continue to work with our players. And so, you know, it wasn't shocking. I mean, everyone says this has been going on and goes on. It's difficult to prove, but now that we have, you know, open evidence of it, we're going to respond.
Does it make you, and I don't know specifically what your process is in evaluating these financial advisors and people, but does it make you sort of want to not start from scratch, but look deeper into how the PA kind of evaluates these advisors and certifies them?
We don't certify, unlike the NFL PA, we don't certify financial advisors. We certify the agents. What we do, however, is encourage our players to give us information, names, anything they've got about financial advisors, and we perform due diligence on these people. And we advise the players if we find anything that should be concerning. Agents we scrutinize much more thoroughly because we do have the power to either allow them or disallow them from representing our players. But part of what we do is make sure that the financial advisors that are being referred to by the agents, that the agents understand that if there's an issue, we will hold the agents responsible if they've made the direct referral, because our players do trust these agents. So, you know, it keeps me up at night. This is the sort of thing that keeps me up at night, because I've said this on a number of occasions. Our players are literally stalked because of their income by people, most with good intentions, but far too many without. And so it's disturbing. I feel badly at the college level, because to the extent it works, it's frankly because these and I'll call them kids because I'm old enough to do that. It's frankly because these kids are not compensated in ways that would make them able to say no to overtures of that kind of cash. And so it's a problem that needs to be, in the first instance, addressed, I think, at the college level. But to the extent it impacts on our players, we will figure it out and take care of it.
You're an attorney first. When you see the affidavit that's out there and you listen to the press conference, are you expecting this to bleed significantly into the NBA and its players as we move forward?
Significantly is a tough word to adopt. I do think it will bleed. This is the kind of criminal prosecution that generally results in people, my words, flipping. And there are too many close associations between some of the named defendants and some people that I know are actively engaged with the players for me to think it won't have any impact. It will. But it's almost good news, because if people are engaged in this kind of misconduct and potentially harming our players, I want to know about it. And this is, thank you, U.S. Attorney's Office, for letting me know. I'll get rid of them.
Couple of things, and maybe a little bit on a lighter note. Adam, your relationship with Adam Silver now at this point, how would you characterize it?
Respectful. I didn't know Adam, obviously, before I got the job. And you know, there was no reason, therefore, since I didn't know him, for me to have any antagonism toward him. I'd not been in, the good news about being completely outside of the game of basketball is I had no enemies. And no one could call me an enemy. And so we started out, you know, fairly well. And despite the fact that CBA, there were some rough days and sharp elbows on occasion, we've come out of that process. I think we can be called friends, but mostly it's one of mutual respect. I understand and get that his priority is to promote the best interests of the owners. Mm. He has some responsibility to the game and the players, but you know, at the end of the day, I get it, and he gets that. For me, it's players first. And so once we sort of decided that that was okay for us to have our respective constituents, we've been able to work together, I think, in a way that's good for the game.
You've joked in the past that you're not going to be in this job forever.
You're certainly not going to be doing it
at 70. You have an established agreement for at least the next 6 years. As you look at the next few years for you and the union, what are some of your priorities kind of moving forward?
Well, as you know, we recently decided to retain our group licensing rights. In fact, we opened for business on July 1st of this year. We've got a great team, a really strong management team to push this concept forward. Started a for-profit, wholly owned subsidiary, the NBPI. And so my priority right now is to make sure that entity fulfills its promise and its mission, and I have no reason to doubt that it will. But what I want to do is make sure that the structure that we, my management team and I, together with our players, have created for the union will survive no matter who's in this seat. No matter if my entire senior management team is turned over, we've established a structure which I think can deliver what the PA is supposed to deliver for its players. And I'll work on making sure that's strong enough, and then I will ride off into the sunset.
Do you have a ride off for the sunset date at this point?
I don't. I don't. And you know, the good news about me is once I begin to get a little itchy, I know it, and then I'll leave. Right now, I'm still having fun. You know, this game is hard to walk away from.
I would agree with that. Michelle, I know you're busy. Thank you for taking some time to join me here.
No, thanks for coming.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Michelle Roberts for joining the show. As always, you can download archived episodes on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, really anywhere you can download podcasts. While you're there, post a comment, leave a rating. You know I appreciate it. And I'll see you next week.